Himalayan mountain, river, and plain through wind and storm.
Ride Zan of the Airlines.
Zeb find that the transport ship that has been deserted on the island of Trinidad is one that had been landed there a month or so before by another member of the diamond smuggling ring. The only thing left aboard the ship is a note containing what were apparently the last few radio messages from the gang's headquarters in Springfield. The last message gives our three friends a ray of hope, for it mentions gas, which they need badly, but the note says that the gas is in a cave, but is followed by the word inaccessible. But something strikes Zeb, and he urges a speedy flight toward the destination of Jack Baker and Ann Burton, the island of Tristan da Cunha, telling Pete and Kay that their gas worries are apparently over. What can he mean? Well, suppose we enter the cabin of the aircraft and find out for ourselves.
Zeb, I don't quite get what you were driving at when you said that we were not going to land at Tristan da Cunha.
Now, son, you just trust old Zeb. I'm going to show you that sometimes I use my head for something besides keeping my collar from slipping up. You still on that beam?
Yeah, yes.
And that was on the gang's beam frequency, wasn't it, Pete?
Yeah, Kay. I thought that it'd be safer than trying to keep tuned into Jack. But I've been buzzing in there on that wavelength every once in a while, too. Thought that D-12, the guy at headquarters, might give us a bit of encouragement about grub and gas.
You just quit worrying about gasoline.
I know, Zeb, but that note that we found on that wrecked ship back there in Trinidad... 1,000 gallons of gas and some drums of oil in cave inaccessible. And if they're not accessible, just how are we going
to
get them?
Oh, what worries me is not being able to land on that Tristan Island while Jack and Ann are there.
Well, you just let me know when we're, say, 100 miles from Tristan, and then let me sort of navigate this here craft.
Okay, Zeb. I sure can't see what you're so optimistic about. I'm going to give Jack another try on the radio. Just a chance he might be getting close to a landing.
Do you think he'd have a chance to say anything?
I don't know. Nothing like taking a chance on overhearing something. Nope, nothing stirring. I can leave it there for a little bit. Zeb, you've been working with that sextant. How do you say our position is right now?
Well, I ain't so polished up on this shooting the sun like I used to be. It ain't like a boat. This year thing, you change position so fast that by the time you figure out where you are, you're already somewhere else. Yeah, but I'll get it. Now let me see.
Headquarters calling somebody. I wonder who that D-46 could be. Must be some new guy.
New guy, nothing, Pete. D-46 is you.
What?
Don't you remember? That's the secret code number they assigned to you.
Say, that's right. I guess I forgot. Okay, D-46. Answering D-12. Come in, D-12.
Still trying to locate ship near Tristan da Cunha that can furnish you with gas at nearby point in time to permit you to keep on trail of Baker. How is your gas holding out?
Plenty to get to Tristan, I guess. Where can we land near Tristan without taking a chance of being hurt by Baker and the others?
Only two islands near Tristan. One is too small to land on. The other is inaccessible. We'll notify you later. That is all, D-46.
Well, for the love of Mike, now him. Are all the places around this neck of the woods tough to get to, or do people just like the word inaccessible? I tell you, it's getting on my nerves.
Here she be, Pete. Your location, as near as I can figure it, we're just about 37 degrees south and 11 west. And say, that ain't so very far from where we're going.
Now, let me see. Here's Tristan right here. Say, I'll say we're getting close. It's 37 degrees, 5 minutes, and about 50 seconds south. 12 degrees, 16 minutes, and about 40 seconds west. We'd better be getting a little off this beam unless we want to be...
Yeah, that must be it.
The radio, listen.
Your island's right down there. If you'll just indicate your preferences to a landing field, I'll do my best to hit it. That long flat spot over there on the northwest side looks about the best. There seems to be some houses near there. What?
That's Jack. He left that mic open on purpose.
That volcano. Hey, Morgan, you think I'm crazy? You wouldn't have one chance in a million landing on the side of that thing. Besides, I get it, that open place up there. Okay, Morgan, you picked it. But if we overshoot that field, there seems to be a drop of about 1,000 feet right straight down. Okay, we'll have a try at it. We're going in.
We must be close, all right. Jack's going in, and he's landing right where you said he would, Zeb.
Yep, I reckon that's where they got that radio station, up on the side of that old volcano.
Sure hope that Jack's got plenty of room to stop. That drop sounds plenty bad.
Oh, he'll make it all right. And now, you see this little dot right here? And this other one right here?
Yeah.
Well, them are the two islands that feller back in Washington talked about. Now, according to my figuring, we're a little west. So you just bear off a little to the right, and not too much now, but just about enough so that we'll be about 20 miles west of Tristan. You think you can do it?
Sure, but I don't see where that's going to get us. From the report...
D-12 calling D-46. D-12 calling D-46. D-12 calling...
D-46 answering D-12. Come in, D-12.
Did you hear Baker and Mike apparently landing on Tristan?
Heard him, D-12. Sounds like he left Mike open on purpose.
Thanks, D-46. Thought it might be a hoax. Suggest that you use only code numbers from now on account of proximity of large beam station on Tristan. Freak reception might enable interception of messages.
Okay, D-12. Any news about gas supply?
Contact a destroyer now near Montevideo. If we cannot contact closer vessel within 12 hours, we'll have them make all haste to Tristan, but we'll contact you later on this. Meanwhile, prepare to land in proximity of Tristan. Suggest you use island 20 miles west of Tristan proper.
Yeah, but D-12, you said that island was inaccessible.
Correct, D-46. That island is inaccessible. That is all.
Listen, Kay, if you ever saw a pilot going slowly but very surely crazy, you'll recognize the symptoms now.
Oh, take it easy. Pete, Zeb, and this D-12 can't both be wrong. And they both agree that you land 20 miles west of Tristan.
Which is just about where we ought to be right now. I'll be hanged if I can see any island, either accessible or inaccessible.
And you ain't looking very close, son. How about that chunk of land pretty nigh under your keel?
You mean... Well, for the love of Mike, there is an island there. And there's a swell place to sit down, too. That the place, Sam?
That's it, son.
And here's where we drop in. Get set. Can you work that gear, Zeb?
I reckon I can by this time. Next thing you know, I'll be putting in for a pilot's license. There's your subtracting wheels out now.
Oh, you can see the whole island, and there surely doesn't seem to be a soul on it.
I don't see how there could be with those cliffs rising up from the ocean like that. Oh, watch it. This may be a little rough.
Well, as somebody once said, here we are, but where are we?
One thing I do know, we're just about out of gas. Most important of all, I'm getting hungry.
Well, we'll have a look around. You never can tell what you'll find on a place like this.
Zip, what is that? Well, it looks like a mountain sticking out of the ocean way over there.
That, Kay, is what you can see of the island of Tristan. That's the old volcano you see there. Mm-hmm. Only it's dead now, and... There's a freshwater lake up in the crater.
I'd say this was just about as inaccessible an island as anybody could find.
Yeah, you sure was right, Pete, when you said it was inaccessible. Because that's what I happened to think of way back there on Trinidad.
I don't get the connection.
You was thinking all the time that the word inaccessible on that note you found in that airplane meant that the cave couldn't be got to. And then when this D-12 feller from the government headquarters said the other island was inaccessible, you thought the same thing, that right?
Sure.
Well, this island is inaccessible. Not meaning that you can't get to it, but that the name of it is inaccessible. You get it?
Well, who would have thought of that?
Well, it seems like there's three of these islands in this Tristan da Cunha outfit. There's Tristan itself, where Jack and Ann lit. Then there's what they call Nightingale. Only there ain't no Nightingales there that I ever heard of or anything else much. And then this one, which they call Inaccessible on account of the high cliffs all around it.
I get it now, all right. It looks a lot like Trinidad, too, doesn't it?
Yep, I reckon it does. The funny thing about that, too, these islands here in Trinidad are all caused by old volcanoes that were spouting, oh, maybe a million years ago. And a feller by the name of Trisden de Cunha discovered both of them. That's how this bunch got its name. But now, if that note in the airplane meant anything, there ought to be some caves hereabouts. And if I know these parts, we ain't going to find them up here on the top. They'd be more likely to be down around the water edge.
You mean there may be more than one cave?
Oh, sure.
Well, I don't understand how you knew that note meant there was gas cached away on this island here. And I certainly don't see why they picked this place instead of that Tristan where they have their radio station.
Well, of course, I wouldn't know about that. But I think maybe they didn't have any way of landing their gas over there except in where the inhabitants live. And they could land it on the beach here and pick it up in a plane up here on top.
Fine, but just how could they, or we for that matter, get 1,000 gallons of gas up the side of those cliffs from way down there on the beach?
Well, they must have made some arrangements for that, but I sure can't see any. Tell you what, we might look around and see if we can find any way to get down there. Say, you two youngsters go one way around the mesa, as they call it in the west, and I'll go the t'other. And if we see a way to get down to that little shelf down there, we'll holler.
Okay, Zeb, we'll start right here at the edge and go this way. Come on, Kay. We might jump up a rabbit or something. Maybe a kangaroo while we're looking.
I wonder how long we'll be here, Pete.
No telling, Kay. If we don't locate that supply of gas, and we're not sure that we will, we just have to wait until headquarters gets that destroyer to us. And how they can get up that cliff is a problem, too. Those walls are just straight
Pete!
Up and...
Pete!
Pete! He disappeared! He was right over there by that little bush. Come on.
He must have fallen over the cliff.
Oh, he couldn't have done that. He was way back here. Right about here it was when I just saw him throw up his hands and just disappear.
But he isn't any... Watch out, Kate!
Oh, Pete! Oh, that was too close for comfort. Another inch and I'd have gone right down through that hole. Pete, listen, those rocks...
No sound comes back from the seemingly bottomless volcanic pit. Will the hardy veteran of 1,000 jungle adventures survive this fall? Will the supply of gas on Inaccessible Island remain inaccessible? And what about the matter of food? There is an answer to every one of these gripping questions in the next thrill-teeming episode of Anne of the Airlines.